Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Remain standing. Take your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 9. Going to read the word. You say, how do I have to stand? No, you don't. But we do stand in honor of God's word. If it's hard for you to stand, feel free to sit. Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38. It's on the screen as well. Are you ready? Well, forget it. Then we'll just wait. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Listen, it's okay to have fun in church, and it's okay to talk back a little bit. All right, here we go. Matthew 9, verse 35 and following. Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news. The what? The good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, come on, read verse 36 out loud. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Final verse, verse 38. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Father, thank you for your word. Lamp unto our feet, light upon our path. Move in power as you did in the first service, even more so now in the second. We won't stop you. We won't hinder you. I pray you set people free today, that you would open them hearts and you would open the understanding to reveal who you really are and what you're like. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. There is what is called the Judeo-Christian revelation of God. Judeo-Christian revelation of God. Very different. The Judeo-Christian, the God of the Bible, is very different than a lot of other false religions. I'm so grateful that the Ayatollah has been removed. And I'm so grateful for that demonic, evil genocide is ended. And honestly, people, we don't even know how many have been killed. We just don't know. We hear reports, and it's hard to know what news agencies are sharing, whether it's true or not. On the ground, we have friends that have been missionaries for years in Iran. And I shared with you in previous weeks, I'll share again, Jeremiah 49, verse 35 and following is a prophetic word of the people of Elam. The people of Elam, or Elamites, are the people of Iran. And in Jeremiah 49, it was a word about how God was going to judge them. But at the end there, verse 38, I think it is, you can go look, Jeremiah 49, I think it's verse 38, that they would come back to the Lord and the Lord would do this amazing thing. Then you read in Acts chapter 2 at the outpouring of the Spirit when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, there were those who were gathered from all these different nations, and it says that God poured out his Spirit and the people from Mede and Persia and Elamites were there hearing the wonderful works of God in their own language. Elamites, Iranians, were in Jerusalem hearing the outpouring of the Spirit, the rushing mighty wind, tongues of fire, and hearing the wonderful works of God in their own language. And so now ancient Elam is Iran. I believe that a great outpouring has taken place, and there's others who've reported that of this powerful underground church. And you can't watch some of those reels and different things and hear the people of Iran shouting for joy and tearing down idols and just rejoicing. What an hour in which we live is absolutely amazing. I've seen some footage of our churches in Cuba where they have one or two hours of electricity in Cuba now. It is desperate in Cuba. Communism is falling. I believe that communism will crumble in China also. There's a great underground church in China. You say, are you getting political? Not really, just stating the news a little bit of what we're seeing. Never before in my lifetime of nearly 60 years have I seen such an incredible release of justice across the earth, for which we're very grateful. Thank God, Madero snatched him. Come and get me, you coward. Well, we did. And we need to pray that this doesn't escalate into something that's much larger. I had somebody say, Pastor, I thought for sure you'd be preaching on Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39. I have preached on Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39 before, and no doubt I will again. It is a part of prophetic history of what's going to take place. Here will come the Gog-Magog coalition, for those of you that understand. And that is, they are going to march on Jerusalem one day. I don't believe this is that moment. If you see Russia start getting involved and there's this big coalition that then starts coming on Jerusalem, it just may well be. And then you just look unto the heavens, because your redemption draws nigh. And the Lord is going to return one day with a shout. Come on, with a trumpet blast. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Come on, somebody say he's coming soon. He's coming soon. You plan like he's not coming in your lifetime. You live like he's coming at any moment. One of the horrible things about this Islamic jihad and the way that they treat women, the way that they treat humanity, is just so wicked. It is very different than Christianity. There's many false religions have spawned a lot of tragedies in America, outside of America. It's very important that we understand God's word, and that's why I'm going to preach to you from God's word, specifically about compassion. Compassion. Come on, somebody say compassionate. He's a compassionate God. Compassion and mercy is one of the reasons why we do missions. It's one of the reasons we're here. Because we need to talk about God's compassion, talk about God's mercy. God so loved the world, had mercy on humanity by sending his son. Jesus is compassion manifested in the earth, fully God, fully man. The key verse here, verse 36, is that he saw the crowds and was moved with compassion. It's out of compassion that he went to the towns and villages. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. God's moved with compassion. He'd send his disciples into the villages. Why? Because he's moved with compassion. He's moved with compassion and sends them in. It's compassion that he fed the 4,000. It was compassion that he healed the sick. It was compassion that moved. And the word compassion is a word it's not an emotion. It's a verb. It's an action word. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Thank you, on the screen. Listen to this. A good way to define what compassion is from a Hebrew understanding. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. I mean, that's a very broken person that would forget their child. Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. This is picture of this God of the Old Testament, of a God of compassion. He cares. It's sympathy mixed with the burden, but it doesn't just feel that. It does something. It moves forward. The God of compassion. In Exodus chapter 34, Moses, verse 6, is there, and it says, and the Lord passed before him as Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. That's the word compassion. Long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. That's the God of the Old Testament. We see that. But in the New Testament, we see even a clearer picture of who God is through Jesus, of course. The parables talk about compassion. Luke 15 and verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. Now, how many of you know the story of the prodigal son? Some say it's really the story of the prodigal father. The waiting father, I should say. Because the father is a picture of God the Father. The prodigal son is a picture of us. It's a picture of all of us have gone our own way. Each of us have turned from the Lord. All of us have gone astray. All of us have sinned. We all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Book of Romans talks about that. So every one of us is really a prodigal. And so the parable is not a real story. Everybody says it's not a real story. It didn't happen in reality. It's a story to illustrate truth. Parables hide truth from casual observers, as we've said, but reveals truth to those who really want to know it. Anybody want to know it? I want to know truth. Truth will set you free. Luke 15, verse 20, the prodigal son took his inheritance from his father and spent it in Vegas. He didn't really go to Vegas, but it's a picture of getting his entire inheritance and going off and blowing it on wild living, gambling, prostitutes. He spends all of it and he has nothing and he's left in the ditch and he longs to eat from the pig's trough. And a Jewish boy, which is what this is, this story, this parable is about, feeding pigs is what, like, it's a picture of the lowest of the lowest that you can go. A Jew would never tend pigs. We love bacon, but they weren't allowed to eat it. We can eat everything now. Somebody say hallelujah. So verse 20, he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. The father is a picture of God. The son coming home is a picture of you and me. It's a picture. What Jesus is saying is, I am a God of compassion. I see you. Come on, somebody say, he sees me. He sees how you long for your granddaughter, Pastor Karen. He sees how you long for your family to be healed. He sees how you're hurting, how you're broken, how you're distraught. He sees maybe how you're bound by alcohol, I'm not looking at anybody specifically. I'm looking over your heads. You're bound by addiction, bound by lust. He sees the porn problem you have. Welcome to Kings. So glad you're here. And he has compassion on you. He's still a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion on him. It's a beautiful picture of just straining, looking, and hoping that his son's going to come back. It's a picture of God looking for you to come, even this morning, looking for your loved ones to come. He's looking for you. He's straining. He's glassing. And he's looking for you. And when the father saw his son, he ran and fell on his neck. Now, we don't really understand that. But from the Near Eastern perspective, a father would wear a garment that would be kind of like a dress-ish. And to run, you would have to, all the ladies understand about hiking up so you can run. It would have to hike up his garment so he could run. And for a Middle Eastern man like this man, who is most likely elderly or older and considered highly esteemed and like royalty, men of significance and stature did not run. Somebody else would run for you. You wouldn't run. But he ran because those who were his neighbors perhaps would see the son, and the penalty for what the son would have done was to be killed. So he ran to protect his son. That's a picture of God. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. He has compassion. There's other parables too. Go to my next scripture if you would. A certain Samaritan, when he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Hold on. This is a parable of the good Samaritan. Now, Samaritans were hated by Jews. I had somebody say, we should be like the first century church. First century church had all kinds of issues. They were prejudiced, and they hated Samaritans, and there was infighting. Even in the book of Acts, you can see it. They had to adjust things and confront things and change structure. So Jesus tells this parable of a Samaritan, somebody who a Jew would never spend time with. They were considered half-breeds. They had a mixture of religion. And earlier on in this parable in Luke 10, he talks about the Levite who's in full-time ministry, crossed over to the other side, and the priest crossed over to the other side because they didn't want to be defiled. They didn't want to see maybe the guy's dead. They didn't want to help him. They had all these religious reasons. And here comes a Samaritan who they despised. And the Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, this guy who's left for dead, beaten by robbers on the side of the road. He saw him and had compassion on him. Verse 34. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine, which is a picture of God's healing power. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of the comfort of God. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. These parables talk about how Jesus is, what God is like. Parables. And then you see in the life of Jesus that he was filled with compassion. In Luke 9, verse 36, he saw the crowds. He had compassion on them. It's the basis for why he did what he did. Go to Luke chapter 7. Go to Luke 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke. There's four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke is written by this guy. His name is Luke. He also wrote the book of Acts. Somebody said, I don't know, the Bible's written by men. They're written by men under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The word inspiration is God-breathed. This book right here will never contradict itself, and if you find a contradiction, it's only because you're uneducated to understand what it's really saying. It is the number one book ever since it came off of Gutenberg's printing press. It's number one since then. More Bibles are sold than any other book in the entire recorded history or ever will be. Bible means book. It's the first book. Whoa. Luke 7, verse 11. Now it happened that after he went to a city called Nain. What was the city called? Nain. And many of his disciples were with him and a large crowd. So here he's going to the city. His disciples with him. They're following him because he's him. Because he had what they were looking for. And I'll tell this to you. God has what you're looking for. Nothing will satisfy you outside of God. No money won't satisfy you. No amount of form, fame, fortune. It doesn't matter what you get from man, only God can truly satisfy you. And if you haven't learned that yet, I'm glad you're here to hear it. So they're following Jesus, large crowd. Continuing on now, verse 12. And when he came to near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. This is a very sad verse. Because here's this lady, it's sad to be widowed. It's now sad. No parent should have to bury their child. And so now not only is she widowed, her only son is dead, which for her then would mean there's no hope for her life. There's no one to be able to do the work, no one to be able to farm the fields, no one to be able to feed her. Their whole method of help, they didn't have food stamps. They didn't have any of that. So now her son is dead and there's a large crowd coming out with them. A large crowd from the city was with her. Verse 13 now. When the Lord, everybody say Lord. When the Lord saw her, are you finding a theme this morning? God is a God of compassion. Now in that verse, it says Lord. In the Greek, it's kurios. If you were to go to John chapter 1 and verse 58, to fill you in, you should go to John chapter 1 verse 58. Go there, underline it, or highlight it on your device. Why would I do that? Because it's very important to understand that Jesus is God. He claimed to be God. He is God. He's not Satan's brother. Come on, somebody say amen. He's not just a prophet. He's the Messiah. And so in verse 58 of John chapter 1, Jesus is arguing with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the people that couldn't see and wouldn't see. He's arguing with all of them. John 1 and verse 58. That's what I meant. John 8. Thank you, Dr. Capo, keeping us on the beam. John 8, 58. Thank you. John 8, 58. Everybody say John 8. Listen, if I ever say something that's not biblical, that's not what I meant. John 8, thank you, verse 58, which means we are not going to be streaming the first service. We will remove that and put the second service up. John 8, 58, he's arguing with them and he's saying that Abraham saw my day and they say to him, you're not even 50 years old and you say that you saw Abraham? He said, yeah, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced in it. And they say, he questions, well, who are you? He said, I am. He claimed to be God. The word I am is the name of God from Exodus chapter 3. And so they pick up stones to kill him. Why? Because he's declaring that he's God. So here in Luke chapter 7, when he says, when the Lord saw her, that's the word kurios. It doesn't mean anything else but God. It doesn't mean like Lord, small Lord. It's the Lord. So what Luke is saying, it's a very strong theological statement. He's saying God is there at the gate of Nain. God saw her. The Lord God saw her. Jesus is God in flesh. And he had compassion on her and said, don't weep. I want to say to you this morning that God is not only a God of compassion, but he sees you. He knows you're rising up. He knows you're setting down. And he has compassion on you. And he says, don't weep. No matter what's going on in your life, he's able to help you. He's able to heal you. He's able to set you free. He's able to touch your marriage. He's able to heal your body. He's able to even raise the dead. What I love about him, if it's lost, he can find it broken. He can fix it. If it's sick, he can heal it. And if it's dead, as I've said hundreds of times, he can raise it up. He's God Almighty, and he's moved with compassion and mercy for you. You ought to shout and say, amen. Come on, bump your neighbor and says, God's got compassion for you. Absolutely. And over and over and over, you see it. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down and saying to him, if you are willing, I want you to say that, if you're willing. So the leper, based upon that verse, understands that he can do it. He has the ability to do it, but the leper doesn't know if he wants to. The leper doesn't know if he's willing. And I would say, if all of us being honest today, all across this great sanctuary and those online, you would say, God can do anything. Everybody say that. God can do anything. Yeah, he made the earth, he made the sea, he made the land, he made you and me. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the, in his hands, he's got the, in his hands, whole world. Absolutely. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got. All right, you're all born in the 70s. He can do anything. So the leper, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Verse 41. Mark 1, verse 41. Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left and he was cleansed. Wow. So compassion moved Jesus to heal the sick, to set the captives free, the healing of blind eyes in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34. Matthew 20, verse 34, Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And they received sight. Wednesday night, I was at Pastor Jordan Hodges' church. And we had a time of praying for the sick, which we do nearly every service. Nearly every service here, we'll have an opportunity to invite you up in the altar area and we'll pray for you and minister to you. We believe in the ministry of laying on of hands. You'll see that in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, and it's an elementary teaching. We believe in it. And we have seen many, many, many miracles. And all the time, it happens all the time. We've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears, people that had, I have just in my little credenza, which I think that's the word. I have in here these different doctors' reports and different reports about how people were healed and set free. It's okay. Because if you go and you get healed and you got a new set of eardrum, I would encourage you, you get new eardrums, you get your hearing back. Go talk to the doctor, get him to give you a note. I have notes. Miraculous, we do not understand how they can now hear. That happens. So on Wednesday night, just this past Wednesday, you had Pastor Bruno Frigoli ministering here. It was powerful, I heard. Had a lady over on the left-hand side of the sanctuary. She came. She was clearly struggling with many things, but she had an eye that was like totally blind. So she could only see with one side. She said, I said, if you have a blind eye, come to the front. If you have deafness, come to the front. I invited people up. She said, I can't see. I said, okay, let's pray. We prayed. I said, what do you see now? And she said, it's blurry. I said, what? She said, it's blurry. I said, yeah, but it was black before. And she said, ah. Person she was with began to cry. We prayed again, and she could begin to see. It was blurry, but she saw one finger. I said, how many see now? She said, two. She had totally black eye, like see nothing. Like I put my finger close to it. She didn't blink or anything. She began to see. God heals people. Why? Because he has compassion. And it's just what he does. He's the healer. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. Thank you, Pastor Karen. Here it is. Just in case some of you thought I was lying, liars go to hell. It's just one. There's numerous reports of healing. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, oh God, have compassion on me. They had compassion. He touched their eyes and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. You see, when you're awakened to the reality of his compassion and you're a recipient of it, you know what you want to do? You want to follow him. He'll change your life. He'll set you free. Why are you teaching and preaching this to us today? Because you need to understand he's a God of compassion and mercy. It is who he is. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 15, listen to this. And we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. So in other words, we have a high priest. His name is Jesus. And he sympathizes with our weakness. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without. What was he without? Without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Listen. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Lead that up. Let us therefore come boldly, boldly, bold. That's not tail between your legs, whimpering, begging, and hoping that God hears you. That is not what that says. Boldly. I boldly am coming down the stairs. I'm moving with purpose. And I'm gonna give my wife just a little kiss on the cheek. Happy birthday. Okay. Believe me, I don't have to tiptoe over here. And then, hi. My son was home just last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. Let me just tell you, there wasn't like a knock on the door and they waited for us to open the door. Hi, Dad. Hi, Mom. Can I come in? Dude, he has his own key. When he came home, the door just swings open. Hey! And we're all up and we greet each other and there's hugs and kisses and it's amazing. Oh, hold on to each other for a minute. And then he's instantly moving to the espresso bar. And he's like checking it out and he tamps himself up some espresso. He's like, oh man, good to be home. He's instantly over to the fridge, pulls the fridge out, pulling some stuff out, gathering his things, brings it over to the counter, washes his hands, went up to his room, lifted his hands. He said he cried a little bit in his room and like, oh, came downstairs, had his espresso. He didn't ask to have an espresso. He didn't ask to go in and get himself a jar of whatever. He didn't ask to borrow some bread. He didn't borrow. I mean, you'd think he'd own the place. He's my son. Yet so many people don't understand actually who they are in God. And as a result, they don't have any boldness. They don't really know that you can come like that into your Father's house before his throne. You can come because of what Jesus has done. You've got to settle it in your heart. He had compassion on you. He loves you and you need to embrace that. Yeah, but I've not been real good. Well, repent. Get right with God. Understand who you are. And quit begging for forgiveness all the time. And when you understand who you are in him, you'll stop doing that stuff like a dog back to the vomit. You know what they used to do in black churches? They would literally walk up and down the aisle. They'd go, sinner, sinner, come on, sinner. Come on, sinner, where are you at, sinner? Where you at, all you sinners? And people just start to shake and stuff. This prophet Bubba or whatever coming down the aisle. God knows your frame. He knows you. He's not angry at you. He put forth his wrath on his son, Jesus. You need to receive him. Man, it's like a pack of hot dogs right back there. I'm glad you changed the angle. Jesus, help me right now. Let's see that again. Let me see the back of the headshot. Oh, it's gross. Jesus. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. You've got to settle it in your heart who you are before God. He was crucified for your sin. He rose again from the grave for you. If you believe in your heart that that's the truth and you repent of your sin, you will become a new creation. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and you don't live in that new creation. You don't understand who you are. You don't renew your mind. Then you'll never have a boldness. My son doesn't have to beg me for anything. He comes in, he'll grab the keys, he'll take a truck, he'll do whatever. Boldly come to the throne of grace. Let us therefore, go read why that's there. Go read the verses before. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. It's that word grace, mercy, pardon me. It's the word compassion, mercy. It's the same word. So does that mean, Pastor Daniel, that you can actually get compassion and you can get mercy if you can obtain that, if you come before his throne? What if you don't come before his throne? No obtaining any mercy for you. Although he's kind and he's gracious, and so he's merciful and long-suffering, so we do live under the grace of God, and he will release his compassion on you, but not literally, not to the degree that scripture says, so that you can obtain grace, or pardon me, obtain compassion, mercy, and find grace and help in time of need. Raise a hand if you need help. Rest of you are lying. Liars go to hell. Now, if you're honest, we all need help. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, I need some help. Great, so this is about a prayer life. This is actually when we boldly come before him, this picture that I've given with my son coming to my house and opening everything and eating everything and drinking espresso at his free will, and then he could have four espressos if he wanted to. It's a picture of a son. My daughter, same thing. It's a picture of a son or a daughter boldly coming, and that's the way we should come. And in other words, you're not getting any espresso if you don't get to the machine and make it. I'm not feeling the love right now, so I'll be right back. Amen, Pastor Daniel. I'm going to boldly come before that. I'm going to increase my prayer life so I have compassion, so I can have compassion and find mercy, obtain mercy. All right. Let me land this thing. The ramifications of understanding that God is a God of compassion, that Jesus has compassion, is that you can believe that you can have help. You could have chosen anywhere to go to church this morning, but you chose to come here, and I'm very grateful that you did. I am. If you've been offended thus far, try us two or three more times just to make sure. We're here so that you could learn how to open the heavenly refrigerator and live under the blessing of God. We're here to help you to have a healthy marriage and raise children that love God and serve God. We're here to help you become disciple, to reach the lost. That's why we do what we do. And it's so important that you understand that God has compassion on you. And if God has had compassion on you, it's so important for us to realize that we need to have compassion. Colossians 3 and 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, which is the word compassion. If you're not very compassionate, your wood's gotten a little wet with God. If you don't have compassion flowing from your life, could it be that you've drifted in your understanding of how he's had compassion on you? That's why you hear a message like this and you can be like, whoo, he saved my bacon so many times. Oh, he's intervened in my life so many times that it'll give you a burden to be kind and compassionate to others. It cultivates humility. It cultivates a meekness. God's been so long-suffering with you and me. My goodness, we should be long-suffering and merciful to others. One more scripture. 1 John 2:6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Let me break it down for you. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you're living for him, then you should walking with the Lord is living with the Lord, walking out your life. It's day-to-day life that you should live in a way that actually is representative of the way that he lived. Well, how did he live? How many remember those bands? What would Jesus do? How about what did Jesus do? What would he do? How do you know what he would do if you don't know what he did do? He healed the sick. He set the captives free. He was compassionate. He was long-suffering. He was merciful. He spent his life to reach the lost. He came to seek and save the lost. What should we do? We should seek and save the lost. We should be merciful. We should be kind and compassionate and long-suffering. Again, he who says he abides in him ought to himself walk as he walked. Live like Jesus walked. Do what Jesus did. And I've found oftentimes in my own life, I forget. I mean, even this morning, here I am preaching on this, and I find myself not very compassionate over some things. I found myself getting frustrated, and the Lord's like, I'm patient with you. How come you're not patient with other people? Son, what are you doing? So then what I did, I went and I opened up the fridge. I went boldly before him. I said, oh, God, sorry. Lord, help me. I had an espresso. I got my heart right. Come on, some of you need a heavenly espresso. Some of you just need a touch from God. You realize that you would be in hell. You'd split hell wide open, but God had mercy on you. Some of you ain't right with God. You're not right with God. Well, that's why he brought you here to hear this bald-headed preacher to tell you. You need to receive Jesus. You can go to church so much you look like a pew. Might even smell like one. You need to get right with God. Religion, tradition are the two twin sisters from hell that'll never help you. You don't get forgiveness because you came to church. You get forgiveness because you received the one who died on a cross and who rose again from the grave. That is that simple. The greatest thing you can hear is this, that God loves you. And he's got a great plan for you. You say, well, I'm God's child. Are you? Whoever told you that sold you a bill of goods because there's only one way to be made his child. Only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life. You become his child when you believe in him. The Bible says to as many as believed in him, he gave them the right to become children of God. You're made in his image? Absolutely. All the atheists and Satanists, they're all made in his image. People are made in his image. You become his child by believing on Jesus, by receiving him as your Lord and Savior. As the worship team is coming, we're going to go ahead and receive the Lord. If you haven't done that, I'd encourage you to do it today. Many, many, many online ushers are beginning to get communion prepared. If you're not right with God, don't leave this place in that condition. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Christ. Don't leave this place. Don't turn off the broadcast. Give your life to Jesus. Even if you surrender your body to the flames and give all that you have to the poor, you'll still be utterly scorned. The only thing that can wash away your sin and mine is the blood of Jesus. That's why we were singing. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me, washed me, and he bought me, or something like that. Can you put the lyrics up for victory in Jesus for me? Sought me, bought me. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming. Come on, put it up, with his redeeming. You've been purchased by the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So listen, settle it today. I'm glad you're here. Coming here doesn't get your sin forgiven. Only one thing does. Receiving his payment, being washed with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him. And all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. It's an old song with deep theological truth. The victory is found for you and me by the blood of Jesus. He had compassion on you, compassion on me. You want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time? You've never done it before. With every head bowed, every eye closed, those online, all of our churches in India, all of our churches in Israel, all of our churches all over the world, wherever you are, you've never given your heart to Jesus, do it today. Don't knuckle down and fight what I'm saying right now. You need to turn from sin and receive Jesus. And if you've never done that, in a moment, I'm giving you an opportunity to make that declaration. Number two, you gave your life to Jesus before, but you know you're not right with God. You've got compromise. You drifted. You've lost your first love. You've drifted. And you're not as on fire as you used to be. You say, well, that's me, Pastor. Well, thank you for your honesty. You want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time? Want to make a recommitment to him all across this place on the count of three. You say, that's me. Then raise your hand. One, two, want to be included in this prayer. First time or make a recommitment. Lift your hand to heaven. One, two, three. God bless you. God bless you. Lift your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. See that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that. Thank you for your honesty. My gosh, hands going up all over the place. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Look at that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Over on this left side, lift your hand high. If you didn't do it just yet, do it now. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see. My goodness. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody say praise God. Could 25 or 25 plus people give it, lifting their hands? Come on, pray this with me. Come on, you're not joining this church. You're joining the church and you're making a profession of faith saying that Jesus, you believe he died for you and you're accepting his payment, his precious blood. Pray with me right out loud. There'll be many, many others praying with you. Say, dear Heavenly Father. Come on, right out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. I ask you today to forgive me, to wash me, to cleanse me, and to make me new. I'm coming into you the best way I know how. Be my Lord and Savior. Write my name in your book in heaven. Have compassion on me. Thank you for having mercy on me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.